Blog Talk Radio.
Getting to know Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 through 31, he's talking about, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to learn all that we can about Jesus. I have spent years and years and years going through the books that Paul the Apostle wrote, and about covered all of them, with the exception of maybe Hebrews. But I'm excited to go through the life of Jesus. And there's lots we can learn from it. And we're going to run up on one today that's a little different from the rest. This morning we're going to talk about the marriage and the miracle that happened at Cana at a wedding. And most of y'all know about what he done there. He turned water into wine, didn't he? And we're going to talk about that this morning. There's a lot. I read a lot of stuff this week on that. And lots of questions that people have regarding water into wine and why he did it and this, that, and the other. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But anyway, I want to welcome in those that are listening to us on the Internet this morning. We want to thank them for tuning in, and got people all over the world that listen to us on the Internet, and we thank God for them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask God to bless. We're going to be in John chapter 2, and we'll start there in verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 12, and actually probably through verse 11, maybe 12. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think I'm going to keep you as long this morning as I normally do. We'll see. We'll see what we do on that, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, thank you so much for loving us like you do. Lord, we thank you for going to the cross of Calvary, bearing our sin upon it. Lord, taking away every spot and stain of sin. Lord, we're thankful that you didn't stay in the grave. Lord, that you rose again and that you're alive forevermore, that you are our sovereign God, more powerful than anything in this world. And Lord God, we know that we're in your hand, and you care for us, you love us, and we're thankful. Open our eyes of our heart this morning. Give us spiritual understanding. Teach us and feed us this morning. Lord, I pray you'd use me this morning. Lord, I'm not at my best today, but Father, that doesn't limit you at all. I pray you'd take me and use me for your honor and glory. And Lord, may I be an instrument that you use to communicate your message this morning. Father, help me to say exactly what ought to be said and nothing more. And Lord, I just pray that the conclusion of this message, Lord, we realize just how wonderful it is to know Christ. That we realize, Lord, just what a precious gift we have. and, Lord, how we can share that gift with other people. Father, I just love you. I thank you now. I pray, Father, for Holy Ghost power. I pray you forgive my sin. Lord, cleanse me. Make me fit to stand in your presence. And, Lord, fill me with the power of your Holy Ghost that I might, Lord, be controlled and be used this morning for Christ's honor and glory. And we thank you for each one that's here and each one that listens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and read it. And then after we read it, we'll go back and we'll talk about it some. And John chapter 2, beginning verse 1, the Bible says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast hath tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days." All right. Well, may the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. I want to show you a few things. First of all, there are several different directions I can go with this. But first of all, I want you to notice some things. First of all, that the mother of Jesus, Mary, she was, this was a relation to Jesus. Had to have been a close relative of the family of either Mary or Joseph, somebody there in the family, because we see that this marriage was about to take place, and Mary was already down there. She was with the family. She was making preparations, doing everything that needed to be done to get ready for this wedding. And in reading and studying for this message, it's come to my attention that when they did a wedding over there, it wasn't just, oh, we're going to have a wedding at 6 and it'll be over by 7 o'clock and everybody goes home. They had a week-long celebration. It was a big deal. And so she was there, and understand something about Mary and Joseph and that family, and they were poor folks. They were not wealthy people. They didn't have a lot. So they're down there scraping together what they can to put on a big feast for this couple that's getting married, and God didn't see fit to tell us who it was, and that's not the point. The point is that Jesus was there and what took place. So Mary's down there at the wedding, and the Bible says, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. You know, the first thing jumps out to me, Jesus ought to be involved in everything we do. Jesus ain't just a Sunday Jesus. He ought to be an all week long Jesus. He ought to be a part of everything that we do in our life. If we're doing something, he ought to be a part of it. If he's not welcome there, we shouldn't be there either. Amen. Listen, he ought to be the central theme of our life. And again, if he's not welcome, we shouldn't be there either. Amen. But the Bible said that Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. In other words, I don't think it was necessarily maybe planned that his disciples came. I'm just speculating. But you know, we just read last week that he just called Peter and Andrew and Philip and Nathaniel. So you had those four at least with him at that time. So they came down to the wedding. Amen. And the Bible said, and when they wanted wine, that doesn't mean they sat around and said, boy, wine be good right now. That ain't what that means. That means they ran out. They had wine. You say, now, wait a minute, was this, they were getting drunk and partying down there? That's not the case. Understand something here, too. This was a very religious family. This was a family that loved the Lord. This was a family that was very much a part of the things that went on in the temple. They were very, very careful to please God in everything they did. But you understand that in Israel, that the water supply was terrible, first of all. God had them grow vineyards so that they would have something clean to drink. And that's why they did. And, of course, the juice that was taken from that, they stored it, and there was some fermentation involved in it. And I've read, and I've studied, and I'll be honest with you, I cannot find that this was grape juice. I have read preachers who said, oh, that was grape juice. That was grape juice they were drinking. But the truth of it is, no, it was wine. Now, was it hardcore Mad Dog 2020? No, it wasn't. It was not hardcore liquor that they were drinking. It was wine, but it wasn't hardcore wine. Now, I want to show you a few things. Lest we get confused on this, and let me pull my phone out here where I can see my notes I had. I want to share with you a few verses, because while we're here, I want you to see how God feels about wine and how God feels about drinking such as that. So, Psalm 104, turn over with me. Psalm 104. Now, I know what I'm going to say this morning may shock some people, and then again, it may not. But I've got a few things I feel like I need to say about it. Psalm 104, 14 and 15, the Bible says, He causes the grass, and that's God, He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh the heart, that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Now, God gave man wine to drink. I mean, now that doesn't mean that he intends for men to get drunk. It doesn't mean that he intends for and we're going to see that. But it's no confusion about it. They drank wine. Was it that they were all a bunch of slobbering drunks? Absolutely not. But along with their eating, they did take and drink wine. Now, I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, over the New Testament. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. It doesn't scare me that they drank wine. I know there's some preachers, they'd get mad at me already in this far into the message and say, well, you're just perverting the scriptures. But I'm not perverting anything. I'm reading what's there. Ephesians 5:18. And the Bible says, and if you're there, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And in that verse of Scripture, God is drawing a comparison. He's drawing a comparison with the fact that it's wrong to drink enough wine to get yourself drunk. He said it's wrong to be drunk with wine, to be filled with wine to where you are absolutely controlled by wine. And that's what he's simply saying. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. You drink enough of it, then it's going to take control of you. And, of course, we know what happens. I grew up with a daddy who was alcoholic. I grew up around drunks. I know exactly what alcohol does to them. And it's not a good thing, not a pretty thing. And, I had a stepdad used to come in. He drank beer on the way home. He got to the house, and he'd liquored up, and he was trying to hide it, but he couldn't hide it, and he'd come in and act like an idiot. And I saw that night after night after night. But the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, he said, but be filled with the Spirit. It's just as wrong to not be filled with the Spirit of God as it is to be drunk with wine. Neither one of them is going to do you any good. If you don't have God's power and presence in your life, it's just as wrong as again, getting filled with alcohol to where you're out of control. Now, I want you to look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, and we're going to look at verses 29 through 35. All right. The Bible says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions or fighting? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Those that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And then it tells you what it'll do to you. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. You say, who's a strange woman? That's any woman ain't your wife. That's any woman it's, beer joints is full of them last night. That's somebody that is looking to do something you ought not be doing. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Well, I want to go with that strange woman, and it goes from there, and I ain't got to go there. Y'all know where I'm going. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast, out on top of the ship, way up in the middle, that big pole, way up on the top, the crow's nest. Go up there and lay down. You're going to go every which way. That's like, I used to hear people talk about that, to take their foot and put it on the floor, keep the bed from spinning. That's exactly what God's describing there. That's what it'll do to you when you stay at it too long. That's what'll happen to you when you don't have the power to put it down. And many folks don't. And it's dangerous because many folks don't have that power to say, no, I'm not going to have any more than this because I don't want this to have any control over me. Verse 35 says, they have stricken me. In other words, they beat me up, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I'll seek it yet again. In other words, I'm going to go back and get the hair of the dog that bit me. I'm going to start all over. Now, if that ain't a warning against it, I don't know what it is. God is warning and saying, look, this stuff ain't going to help you at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. There's another passage we're going to look at. Now, I'm not going to major on this, but I feel like it ought to be brought out if we're going to talk about wine this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll get our Bible drill in this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul is talking about Christian liberty over here, and here's what he says. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What is he saying there? He's saying, you know what? I could drink wine. God made wine, and drinking wine is not going to send me to hell, but here's the thing. He said, all things are not expedient. That means all things are not helpful. I might could be able to go and drink wine and get drunker than Cooter Brown, but that's not going to help me as a Christian. That's not going to, I mean, God's not going to send me to hell for doing something I shouldn't do, but you know what it's going to do? It's going to mess up my walk with him because it's going to, what happens when a man or a woman drinks until they're intoxicated, the governor that says, hey, your internal governor that says, hey, that's wrong, I shouldn't do that, that governor's gone. And this alcohol is driving you, and alcohol leads a person because what is it? It's toxic poisoning to your system if you drink too much of it. You overload your blood system with toxins, and it makes a person where they can't make rational decisions, and they do things according to the flesh because the spirit is not in control at that point. The person's flesh is in control when it's inebriated. And Paul said, you know what, I can do it, but it's not good for me. It's not helpful for me. He said, all things are lawful for me. I'm a child of God. I've been bought by the Most High God. He said, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to allow myself to get to the point to where the thing is going to control me instead of me controlling it. Now, you say, preacher, are you suggesting we all start drinking? I'm absolutely not suggesting that. I can tell you right now, you're not going to get me to drink alcohol. And it's not that I'm afraid if I drank a little bit of it that I'd turn into an alcoholic, because I have never, ever, ever in my life enjoyed alcohol. I never have. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think that it's good for a Christian to use it at all, because it does take control of the body. It does take control of the mind. But God says, listen, there's a penalty of hell tied to it, but it's not good for you. It's not good for you to get drunk. So what these people were doing, they were drinking at this wedding, and they were drinking this wine, and they ran out of it. And one more verse I'm going to read to you before we get done and go back over to our scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2. And again, this is talking about liberty as a Christian. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. The Bible says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. Again, when a man's overcome by that alcohol, and he says, "Man, I gotta go get me a drink. I gotta go, that drink is in control of you. It's your master." And we're not to serve two masters. We're to serve Christ. So if there's a temptation for it to control you, then you need to stay long, far away from it as you can, because it's not going to do anything but hurt your walk with God. So I think God's pretty clear on it, that He's not in favor of a person getting inebriated, drunk at all, amen? So let's get back to our scripture. John chapter 2. Now, I apologize, I've been a little scatterbrained this morning. but anyway, I just want to cover all that so that we don't have a bunch of questions about it. So, again, Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, in other words, they ran out, in the middle of this wedding, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, Jesus, they ain't got no wine. What are they going to do? We're out of something to drink. They run out. Just like somebody over here saying, hey, we're out of tea. What are we going to do? You know, they didn't have something to drink. And so she came and told Jesus, and I thought it was interesting what Jesus said. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? What problem is it of mine? That's what He was saying. What are you asking me for? I'm not the wine guy, you know. He said, mine hour is not yet come. You got to understand, Mary was requesting that Jesus do something miraculous. She had known from the moment that the Holy Ghost of God showed up, or the angel of the Lord showed up to tell her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus Christ, she knew from that moment that something miraculous was about to take place, and He was no ordinary baby. She knew that He was not going to be an ordinary person, that this was God living on earth, walking around in flesh. And she realized that, and I assume her being a human being, she wanted everybody to know that. He's a grown man now. He should show Himself as who He is. But understand something. It's not our job to boss Jesus around and tell Jesus what He should or shouldn't do. It wasn't her job either. Understand something, too. Everybody around knew her and knew, hey, wait a minute. She was pregnant. Wait a minute. She got pregnant. I mean, everybody... people talked about her all around. She had a bad reputation with a lot of people because they had this idea that she got pregnant out of wedlock. And there was a lot of talk about that. And so, on the other hand, Jesus, do a miracle, show them who You are, and then they'll know that it wasn't like they thought it was. But understand something. That didn't take place until the end when He got up out of the grave. It wasn't to be shown until then. It wasn't, her name was cleared in the end, but it wasn't until His ministry had come to full fruition. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. I could park right there and preach a whole message. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Amen. Why don't we argue with the Lord sometimes? Why don't we try to rationalize ourselves around what's right and what's wrong? So often we do. We try to justify our actions. We try to justify our decisions. And yet we don't go and see what Jesus said to do or what He said not to do. Amen? Whatever He says to do, we ought to do it. He is the Lord of glory. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Whatever He says to do, we ought to do it. And the Bible says, and there were set there, 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. understand something. These are for washing. These are for ceremonial cleansing. These are for bathing. These are for cleaning cups and this, that, and the other. These are old stone wash pots that's sitting around probably on the backside of their house, probably covered up. And somebody said, go get their wash pots. And I'm sure somebody said, oh, no, don't get the wash pots. Don't get those dirty wash pots. You know, if my mom had been there, she'd have said, don't get them dirty wash pots out. But these are big old stone wash pots. The Bible says containing two or three firkins apiece. You say, how much is a firkin? Well, a firkin is somewhere in the relative neighborhood of 9 gallons. So you had anywhere from 25 to 30 gallons in each one of these big stone pots. And so they brought them out, and the Lord told them to fill them up to the brim. He said, Jesus said unto them in verse 9, said, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. So they brought them around there. They filled them up. They topped them off. It's still just water in there. And he said, now go and draw that out and pour that in a cup and take it out there to the man that's in charge of the feast, to the governor of it. And the Bible says, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And I'm going to stop right there for just a second. I kept thinking, wait a minute. Jesus made wine. Did Jesus make grape juice or did he make wine? That's what the Bible tells us. And I'll be honest with you, there was a word for grape juice, and if they didn't want to put grape juice in there, they could have put grape juice in there, but they didn't. They put wine. Now, I thought about that, and I chewed on that for a while, and then it hit me out of the blue. God made everything. God made poisonous things. God made all kinds of things in nature that are intoxicants, and it was no different for God to make this wine here. Now, do I think that Jesus made something that just, they took two or three sips and everybody was just tipsy as they could be? No, I don't think that. I think if he made this, he probably made something that was very low in alcohol, if there was any alcohol in it at all. But he made the best. He made the absolute best. The Bible, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. Bring out the best, first of all, when everybody just gets there and they taste it. Boy, it's good stuff, you know. This is good. And when men have well drunk, after they've drank a little bit, and maybe their head is a little fuzzy, they can't tell, hey, is this the good stuff or is this the bad? So I don't make a difference. Just give me another glass of it. That's the way they're looking at it. And that's what he was saying to him. He said, then that which is worse, they bring out the cheap stuff later on. He said, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now, I'm going to sum this message up pretty quick. I want to give you the spiritual application of this message. Those stone wash pots. The Bible tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. These old bodies are just bodies of earthly clay. Those water pots represent us. And you say, well, what's the water? The Bible tells us that we're to be washed with the washing of the water by the Word. The Word of God is the water. And that water goes into these fleshly wash pots, these old bodies. And what do we do at that point? Then that Word of God daily as we go about our way is dipped out of that pot and pour it out to somebody else. And what does it turn into? It turns into joy, which is what wine references. Again, we read earlier in Psalm, to make a man's heart glad. It's joy involved. Wine represents joy. So when we take these old clay wash pots of our lives and we pour the Word of God into it, and then on the way out, it becomes something totally different. It becomes full of joy. It becomes something that blesses somebody else. We might not be the greatest vessels to come out of, but folks, I'm going to tell you something. What God takes and makes out of us He can take the Word of God and turn it into something that, causes another person to be full of joy when they hear the Word of God themselves. Listen, anywhere Jesus is, if we're doing what He's told us to do, and that's exactly what those servants did. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. And what did Jesus tell us to do? He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Listen to me. We are to take that water, again, as each and every day, we're to fill our wash pot with the water of the Word of God as we sit down and we get to know Jesus. And I don't expect you just to do it here on Sunday. If all you do is listen to me and get the little bit of Bible that I give you on Sunday, you're missing out. Listen, you don't just eat once a week, right? Y'all try to eat every day, don't you? You feed your body's physical food. Feed your spirit spiritual food. Spend time with the Lord. Put that water of the Word of God in you. Wash yourself daily with that water. And what it'll do inside of you, it will turn into something full of joy as you put the Word of God into you. And you'll want to give it out to other people. And I can tell you, when you take the Word of God and you take a life that has been touched by the Word of God, and people look and say, you ain't nothing but an old clay pot, but listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Look at what's come out of you. Look what you used to be. You were just a dirty old wash pot. But God is taking and putting His Word into you, and it's changed you. And now you have joy overflowing that you can share with each and every person that you come in contact with. Amen? So I praise God today. Now listen, here we go. The Bible says in verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory. It showed everybody there. This is not just Joseph the carpenter's son. This is not just any man. This is the Son of God. There's nobody else that could have done what He did. This is God. And the Bible says it manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. They heard about what He could do. But let me tell you something. Now they've seen what He could do. They've seen what He can do. And they said, wow, we believe He's the Son of God. I'm going to tell you something. You can tell them all day long, but when they see that it's changed you, we witness with our lips. We share with others that Jesus Christ died for sinners. We share that with our lips. But listen, it's not enough just to share it with your lips. You need to back it up with your life. If you can't back it up with your life, what good is your testimony of your lips? The Bible says His disciples believed on Him. I'm going to urge you today to fill your old clay wash pot with the word of water of the Word of God. Fill it daily. Let the Word of God change you so that what comes out of you is something that will be honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, again, I go back to that verse over in Ephesians. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Instead of filling ourselves with worldliness, which is only, listen, you put worldliness in, guess what's going to come out? Worldliness. Right. Now, there ain't no, you can fill a thermos full of coffee. You're not going to pour milk out of it. Coffee's going to come out of it. Whatever you put in is what's going to come out. And I can tell you this, I preached a message on this a long time ago. You're going to hit bumps in life. And whatever you're full of is what's going to spill out, right? Whatever you fill yourself with daily is what others are going to—they're going to smell it on your breath. Amen. If I go eat Mexican food after we leave here, of course I'm not—we're going to eat here. But if I went and ate Mexican food as soon as I got out of here, by 1 or 2 o'clock, I get around you, you're going to smell it still on my breath. It's what I put in; it's going to come out, and you're going to know that's what I've got in me. Listen, the same way, if we feed ourselves, we feast upon the Word of God daily, then the Word of God will be on our hearts and minds. And when others are talking to us, the Holy Ghost of God will bring out what we've learned, and it'll come out in joy. Because, listen, when God's Word and God's presence fills your life, there's not any sadness with that. It's only joy. It's only peace and happiness when we dwell on the things of God, and that'll be shown to other people. And let me tell you something, that life, backing up that testimony, gives God something powerful to work in somebody else's life. And what we see as a result his people will believe on Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the word. I thank you for the message. Lord God, I pray you'd help us to remember, Lord, not to feed our flesh. Oh, Lord, but to feed our spirit daily. And, Lord, allow you to do miraculous things with us. Lord, we're just old clay wash pots. We're not much of anything. But, Lord, with your strength and your power, Lord, all things are possible. Lord, even though we may not think we can do much for you, Lord, you can take something very common, something that others wouldn't look at and admire. And, Lord, you can take it and change it into something, a vessel that brings honor and glory. And, Lord, I thank you that you've done that in these lives that are here today. Lord, you're working and changing and making and molding us into what you'd have us be. And, Lord, we may not have arrived yet, but, Lord, we're on our way. And we're thankful. And it's all because of Christ. It's all because of what he's done in our lives. Father, I just ask you, please, use each and every soul under the sound of my voice. Lord God, as we go about our week this week, we'll run across people. There'll be people that you'll bring across our path, Lord, that need to be saved, that are on their way to eternity in hell. And Lord, you put us there in their path to be a light to their darkness, to show them that Christ is the answer, to show them that they need to turn to him. They need to turn from their sin, and they need to turn and believe the gospel and be born again. Father, I thank you so much for each one that's here in this room, and I ask you to bless each one. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us Holy Ghost courage to speak to other people, to let other people know that we're believers, that we've been saved, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I just praise you for it. And I ask you, Lord, to help us as we go about our week to shine for Christ's sake. Lord, that we might manifest his glory to all that we come in contact with. I pray your blessing be upon us now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right.